Okay, so I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to show you this one. All right, so you should see my screen and it just says Zoom, nothing interesting yet. Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'll get rid of that one and I don't need that one either. All right, so we're going to start with where do you find all this information? Now, this will be, get rid of that one. Okay, I will be uploading this file with the recording so that you have a quick access to links, right? So there's a genetics interpretation page and there's all kinds of reports. So I'll be going through this. So if you're trying to scramble and take down where'd she go for that, relax, it will be there, okay? You go into your Unstoppable Health site, you click on ERC, and then you scroll down the page to where it says Program Access, click on Nutrigenomics, that opens this page, and then click on where it says Interpretation Charts, and then this page opens, and you've got a list of all kinds of reports that you can be using to help you understand it. Again, all of these links will be in the document. I'm just showing you in case you lose the document or you're, you know, traveling and you can't remember. You can always find it. All of this is on your site. So I have a couple of things that I'm going to be using throughout this. One is this complete collection of genetic charts. And when you click that, it opens up this. These are the beautiful charts that Lynn and I worked painstakingly. And we picked what we thought were like the most important of the genes in this book. It's not 100% complete. We would have needed another couple of weeks to put these together. But we picked what we thought was going to be really helpful for you. And the way we organized these charts is this is the gene and the variation that's going to show up in your report. And let me just show you my report. All right. So if you all got this report, this is what it looks like. It's 12 pages. It's got these sections, phase one detoxification. And those sections go right here, correlate with what it says at the top. The charts might be slightly out of order, so you may have to look a little bit out of there. So when we look at my gene, it says, oh, look at this. I have this CYP1B1 and then this RSID. You'll find that on this chart, CYP1B1 right here, and the RSIDs. RSIDs are just basically identifiers that they use in research. And the reports will show multiples of one particular gene, but then it may have multiple RSIDs. Don't worry about all that. That's like for science and that's for research. Really what you wanna be looking at is the main gene. So what was mine, 1B1? Yeah, right here, 1B1. And so I look back at here, I look back here and I go, I have red. So just a terminology at the beginning, green, yellow, or red. Green means you've got a gene from mom and a gene from dad, and it's what we expect to be there. Yellow means one of your parents gave you a gene that may not be functioning up to 100% of what it should be. And then the red is both parents gave you that. Genes control metabolic pathways. They also control your skin color, your eye color, your height, you know, various things. But they control metabolic pathways for the purposes of our discussion. We're not looking at the genes for your hair color and your eye color and all that. So what we're looking for in this chart is what we call these are SNPs. Anytime it's green, anytime it's red or yellow, it's a SNP, single nucleotide polymorphism. And it goes back to the details of how genes work. And if you want to know all that stuff, there's some great videos on that nutrigenomics page that explains genes and explains nucleotides and all that kind of stuff. It's there if you want to get into that detail. But suffice it to know, we're going to call it SNPs, single nucleotide polymorphisms. We're not going to call them mutations. You are not mutated. Just get that straight. You're not mutated, okay? We're just going to call them what they are, SNPs. It's a much less insulting word. It doesn't evoke emotion, SNPs. So in this particular case, you could see I have a lot of SNPs in my phase one detoxification, right? The worst ones are the red ones. And when they're red, generally speaking, the rate of action of that particular pathway in the body is going to be decreased anywhere from 70 to 80%. Still there, but it's working more sluggishly. And when we think about our detox pathways, what that means is that if you've got sluggish detox pathways and you're living up on the top of the Himalayan mountains and you meditate every day and you eat nothing but organic food and the air is pristine and you drink clean water, it's probably not going to impact you, right? But if you live by the highway and you're breathing in diesel fumes and you're eating charbroiled meat cooked on the barbecue with heterocyclic amines and you're spraying various things into your environment, and I just described like a lot of people in our society, right? If that's your situation and you have a genetic pathway that looks like mine, then there's going to be some issues. And this would explain a lot of why I grew up in that environment. I grew up 5 blocks from the subway. I grew up half a block from the bridge that led from Queens into the Bronx. It was a very heavily trafficked area and we ate nothing but crap. Junk, junk, junk. So surprisingly, not surprisingly, when I was in my 20s, my health really did start to fall apart. But I've turned that around by not exposing myself. So this is what I want you to get. If you've got some gene pathways that look like this, it doesn't mean you're destined and doomed to die. It means that you have to work harder than someone who doesn't, right? To avoid the toxic load. So this is what we're going to be going through today. And I'm going to go through this for each of you. So when you go back to this chart, there's the phase one detoxification SNPs, there's phase two glutathione, there's phase two methylation, B9, there's brain SNPs, there's all kinds of stuff in here that correlates pretty well with this. The book also goes into more detail. So if I go, I'm concerned about this one, I am going to go to page 31 to 34 in the book. And it will have something that is just more wordy and has more, maybe more detail, but maybe not so much more detail than this chart. But here's what we did to this chart. So when I look at 1B1, that's one I have, it's red. It says it helps just detoxify estrogen and upregulates the 4-hydroxyestrogen. That's a toxic estrogen. So what this says to me is, my body, I may be more prone to breast cancer if I'm exposed to toxins. So what are some of the health risks? Uterine fibroids, fibrocystic breast, and breast cancer. Whoops, it should say breast cancer. So when I look back at my sheet, I go, I've also got these other two, 1A1 and 1A2. I know this because I've been doing this a while, that those are also associated with detoxification of estrogen, 1A1 and 1A2. So I've got these three in a row that predispose me to fibrocystic breast cancer, uterine fibroids, etc. The thing I want you guys to know as we go through yours is if you've got, like here it is, 1A2, if I'm exposed to caffeine, it's going to take away some of my body's ability to break down estrogen because it's going to be distracted over here dealing with caffeine. So not a good idea for me to be doing a lot of caffeine. Tylenol, right? And I did a lot of Tylenol when I had all those headaches when I was in my 20s. Little did I know that my body didn't detoxify from Tylenol all that well. And then aflatoxin, which is on peanuts and corn, etc. The way you read these charts is some of the things have little asterisks next to them. So you scroll to the end of that particular chart and you look and the three says aflatoxin, produced by a mold that grows on peanuts, corn, and other grains. And, you know, we don't guarantee there's no typos in these. So if you find typos, send them off and let us know and we'll get them fixed. Okay. So then we look at, you know, so we look at the health risk. So clearly I'm at a higher risk for cancer, breast cancer, et cetera. So I want to avoid that. So what can I do? Well, here's the actions. This set is avoid or reduce, and these are increase. So on the avoid or reduce, I want to reduce and avoid xenoestrogens. Well, where are those? Well, they're in plastics. They're in the bottles. If I buy water bottles and I leave it in my car and those toxins leach into my water, that's going to affect my ability to detoxify estrogen, right? So I want to avoid those. I want to avoid caffeine, alcohol, exposure to cigarette smoke. I grew up in a family where both my mom and dad smoked. And every Sunday, the entire rest of the family, the cousins, aunts, and uncles came over, and all the aunts and uncles came over. I was exposed to secondhand smoke my entire life until I moved out when I was 22. So I'd have a lot of these exposure to gas fumes. So, you know, in the gas station, if somebody's got their car on and you're pumping your gas, or just even sometimes from the pump itself, that's an exposure, right? Acid blocking drugs. I took acid blocking drugs when I was in my 20s, when I had doubling over stomach pain, and they said, you may have an ulcer, here's your drugs, right? Tylenol, took tons of that. Charbroiled meats, we barbecued all the time. Processed meats, we ate ham and salami and bologna and hot dogs and all that, right? Cosmetics and cleansers, we didn't know about organic. There weren't any organic cosmetics and cleansers back then. And then heated or oxidized fats every day of my life. So I was a time bomb until I made these changes because of all of these SNPs that I had. And that's what you're going to come to today as you go through, like, whoa, I think maybe it isn't time for me to change. Or, wow, I'm really glad about the changes I've made and I'm going to be super careful. And then there's the good stuff, right? The stuff you can increase. Exercise. I love exercising and I love sweating and I do it almost every day. Hydration. Lynn's been with me and she watches me. I just drink my water constantly. Yum. Phase one, enhancing foods. See the double asterisk? We're going to go down to here. And the double asterisk says, what's phase one enhancing foods? Berries, onions, garlic, turmeric, basil, cumin, black pepper. Right? So it gives you some things to do. We're not just saying, hey, you got this gene, it's predisposing you to breast cancer and you're screwed. No, what do you do, right? What are all those things you can do? Omega-3 fats. I eat my chia and my flax and my walnuts and hemp seeds. Plus I take an algae omega type of a supplement pretty much every day. Antioxidants, vegetables, a lot of antioxidants in vegetables, fruits, herbs, etc. Cruciferous vegetables, sulfur-rich foods would be your garlic and your onions, and I don't take MSN as a supplement, but I could. Mindfulness, do it every day. Glutathione, I actually have recently started taking a liposomal glutathione, given I have these things going on, and there's this big scare that everybody's going to get sick, and so I'm just taking everything that makes sense for me, right? The glucophorin and sulforaphane, those are from the cruciferous vegetables. Milk thistle, right? You can take that. You can add it to your milk thistle in some of your things. I don't do that on a regular basis because mine don't have that. But B vitamins, folate, vitamin B9, I get tons of that from my greens. Here's a, you know, part of my everyday ritual is drinking one of these, at least one of these, right? So this gives you the activities that you can do. Vitamin B12. Actually, I have also some specific SNPs in mind that predispose me to vitamin B12 deficiency. I've been on a plant-based diet for 35 years. I don't take B12 every day. I maybe take it a couple of times a month just to keep me up to date. Vitamin A, and I have other SNPs that predispose me to A. C, I do C regularly. D, according to my sun exposure, but C, I have some other SNPs too, and vitamin E. So these are all things that I can be doing based on these genes in just this one piece, right? Are any of these new to you? Probably not. Maybe some of the specific supplements might be going, oh, maybe I should be taking this because I have all this stuff going on. What I recommend you do is that you print out your charts and then you go through this list and you highlight the ones that you have SNPs for. So I would highlight this one. If I do red, I won't be able to read it, but I'll highlight this one in orange, right? I can get an orange highlighter. I'll highlight these in yellow. And then I'll go back to my sheet and I'll say, what else do I have here? I have a whole bunch of these. 2C19 is also a problem, right? 2D6. But some of these I don't have to worry about because they're related to drug metabolism and I don't take drugs. Okay, so 2C19, same thing. It detoxifies Coumadin and Prilosec, Valium. Prilosec was one of the things they put me on. Valium they put me on when I had headaches. So I was, not only was I exposed in my daily life, but the care, the medical care I got created this for me, right? So anyway, and then all the things that you avoid. So you can come up with a plan for yourself that will help you. 3A4. I don't think I had that one, do I? Yeah, no, I'm good on 3A4. Yay. 2E2, right? What is that? I look it up. Okay, I wonder what 2E2 is. Let's look that one up. I don't have all these memorized, guys. So this is ethanol, right? I used to drink a lot. Acetone. I used to put nail polish on all the time and then take it off, right? Anesthetics. I have had 4 surgeries in my life where I've had anesthetics in my body. Think I need to detox that? Yeah, right? And a lot of these other things. So this is the kind of thing we're going to go through, not in this level of detail, but I want to give you this level of detail so you understand the gems that are in here for yourself. The next set is here is glutathione, right? And I said earlier, there was something up here that told me I needed glutathione. I have 2 down in this section for glutathione that tell me. And these are related, glutathione being the one of the master antioxidants to help keep you healthy. Acetylation. Now I want to show you one other thing, which I didn't open up earlier and I'm going to open up now, is and I'll put the link into that document as well. We have under the Body Freedoms, Environment, Optimizing Liver Detoxification Pathways, there's a really cool video that talks about optimizing liver, but also these lovely slides that you can use as you go through your report. Because there's a whole set of stuff on the liver phases, phase 1, phase 2, what it means, what it is. We don't have time to go through all of that today. Highly recommend you look at it. But then it talks about what nutrients do you need to speed up phase 1. And then for phase 2, there's one for each of the sections on this report. Here's methylation. Here's what methylation does. It gets rid of these things, and these are the nutrients it requires. Here's sulfation. Here's glucuronidation. Here's glutathione support, acetylation, and amino acid conjugation. Those are all the phases of the liver detox phase 2. So I'm going to put this link into this here. And I'll put in liver detox. There. So you'll have all of this in one place when you're done. And if you're like, whoa, look at me. I have all of these SNPs. Like, look at me. I have acetylation. I have a lot of these. Fortunately, all of these relate to drugs. I don't do drugs. But if I would want to know this in case, you know, something happens, you go to a doctor, they say, take these drugs. So I'm going to show you one other place where you can look up these detoxification genes in one of your reports, genetic genie interpretation detox. This goes into a lot more detail than our little chart does. So you can look things up on here, like my 1A1s. Okay, it tells me all about my 1A1s. It has to do with dental materials and all this. My 1B1, which is my really bad one. I was on birth control pills too, right? So all of this stuff gives you an idea of how you can reduce your risk. So if I look up the NAT2, which I have lots of red, we're going to see that it has to do with heterocyclic amines again, the things like the charbroiled meat, secondhand smoke, right? So all of the things that you can do, and it gives you some specific things that you can shift, right? So anyway, I'm gonna just pause there for a second. And I'm gonna just say, does everybody understand what I'm doing here? Is this making sense? Is this helpful? Yeah. Going through genetics is complicated, but here you go. If you were to do this and go, wow, I want to know more about this, I go to page 66 to 70 because it's red. I have like four of these red things. I want to know about this. 66 to 70. And I read about it, and it says, what do they do? What health problems are associated? Another high cancer risk. So I have a lot of genes for high cancer risk. That's why I don't take chances. That's why I am super careful about what I do because of all of this. It has like three pages, and then it tells you all the things to avoid. So it just gives you a little bit more. And then what do you want to do to test? That's the other thing we put on here. If you wanted to go further and see if this gene is actually causing you some problems these days. So these up here are related to estrogen. So we put down the Dutch test for those, right? Because they're related. I want to see how are my estrogen pathways? Is there something that in spite of all that I'm doing right now that I need to do on top of that, an additional supplement, additional nutrient, et cetera, right? So Dutch test, vitamin D test, super important for these. And then what was this one? A CBC and anemia markers just to see how it's going. Okay. So any questions on this so far? Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through just a couple of the other sections in here, explain what the sections mean so that you understand it. And then we'll get going and we'll start with Jeannie. Okay. All right. So here's the test. So there's the detox. The detox is the first three pages. And then we go into, oh, this is an important one. Fortunately, I have a really good gene right here. The genes necessary to initiate detox pathways. So even though a lot of my detox pathways have the potential of being hosed, my body at least knows how to initiate them. I've seen people with red here, which means that your liver is presented with, here's Mr. Bad Booger Guy toxin, here you go. And your liver says, yeah, maybe later. I'm too tired now. I don't have the energy now. Let's just let that float around your blood a little bit longer. So you're much more prone to problems with exposure to toxins if this particular gene. So I would highly recommend that all of you look at yours, mark it. If that's an issue, then you're gonna have to be even more careful about your exposure to toxins, right? Toxic flooring materials, carpeting, Jeannie's moving into a new house, being aware of all of that, because I think you have a SNP there, right? And I want you to be really careful about all the materials you're putting in, the non-toxic paints, non-toxic flooring, et cetera, et cetera. And if you do have to be exposed to anything and you have that, get one of those masks. I have no problem with that. I got one when I was in, fortunately, I didn't even know about this. Well, I don't have that, but I have all the others. I was exposed to formaldehyde when I was in school and we had to go into cadaver labs and it just reeked of formaldehyde, and formaldehyde is pretty bad for your body. So I got one of these masks that look like R2-D2. It has these very special filters for formaldehyde, and you protect yourself. If you are going to paint, like you're painting the outside of your house and you can't find something non-toxic, not as big a deal because it's outside and it's airing, but it's while you're actually doing it, right? Or exposed to it. So you wear some protective clothing and protective breathing apparatus. Make sense? This particular one will tell you if it's how important it is for you to be really careful about organic foods. And I have a yellow SNP here. So, and this in particular, when this one's out of balance, those pesticides can affect your cardiovascular system. So you want to be careful about those things. Now, mental health genes. If you didn't know me, you would think I was some crazy depressed, anxious, ADD kook, right? Look at this. It's a mess. My mental health is a mess, right? So had I not been so careful starting 30 years ago, 35 years ago, I might actually be like a lot of my family members on antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications because I didn't know better. I was really lucky that I had symptoms that happened. The brain fog was overwhelming when I was in my 20s, But I made changes early on before I had a lot of damage to undo by changing. Just because you have these things, and if you are suffering from those symptoms, doesn't mean you can't reverse it, figure it out. It can take a lot more work. Okay. But, you know, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, that's one that helps to regenerate your brain, protect your brain. Mine's off. Phospholipids. I'm looking at this going, yeah, I better start being more regular with my sunflower lecithin. I started to do that over the last few days and throw sunflower lecithin into my smoothies and stuff. So it has a lot of these phospholipids that protect your brain. Some of these others, the APOE4, let me write this one down, mine, APO. This is one that we have a little confusion about. So APOE4 is a minus TT. I'm gonna tell you how to read something here. APOE2 is CT, okay. So when you read this, these charts, this column that says risk allele, an allele is one of these, the C's, the T's, they're bases and nucleotides that form your DNA. So suffice it to say, the good is what is the opposite of this. So mine is a risk allele is C minus TT. So that means I don't have an APOE4 problem. Here, the risk allele is T. I have a CT, so I have one of those. So APOE is a little bit different, and the way that that works, APOE is a gene that affects your risk for Alzheimer's, but also cardiovascular risk. And so an APOE4-4, which would show here as red, both of these would be red, that would be APOE4-4. And when you have an APOE4-4, you have a much higher risk of cardiovascular disease or Alzheimer's. Doesn't mean you're going to get it. It just means you have a higher risk. The most common is a 3-3. And in a 3-3, you'd have a yellow. Okay. In a 2-2, which is very rare, but the most protective, both of these would be green. Right? So it means you don't have the risk allele for either one of them. Does that make sense? So I do have some genetics that would lead me towards Alzheimer's. So what is really important to keep in mind with Alzheimer's is that we're finding that it's related to blood sugar. So for me, keeping my blood sugar in that ideal range not only protects my heart, a lot of people in my family have died of heart attacks, not only protects me from cancer, which I have higher risks for from these genes, but it's also protecting my brain from Alzheimer's. So super important to know. And, you know, I don't have such good genes here, right? These are related to dopamine receptors. GAD is related to GABA. And if you look at my full, I've got a lot of GAD genes, which means I tend towards anxiety if I didn't have good old heart math and meditation. Then there's more related to dopamine. BRCA, which is related to a cancer risk, right? I have one. I have the BRCA1, not the 2, but it's still, again, added to the other genes I showed you before. I have a slightly higher risk of breast cancer. Okay, and then we have immune system. So we're really going to look carefully at these because a lot of you have gone gluten-free and a lot of you are like, yeah, I don't really need to go gluten-free, can I just eat it occasionally? So these genes will tell, yeah, I have some tendency towards gluten intolerance right there in my genes. CTLA is related to, is that gluten intolerance going to affect your thyroid and autoimmune disease of the thyroid? So fortunately, I gave up gluten a long time ago and I'm less likely to have a Hashimoto's kind of thing go on. Then there's inflammation genes, allergies, blood clotting, triglycerides and cholesterol. Surprisingly, given my family history of people dying young of heart disease, I don't have a terrible picture in terms of heart disease. So where does that come from? Where does that risk come from? I believe it has to do with blood sugar. The blood sugar, unfortunately, isn't covered in here, and I have a separate list that we can look at to see. Nitric oxide. No wonder I love arugula. Arugula is a good source of nitric oxide in food. And I just love arugula. I can't get enough arugula. And then this section is really important. This gives you an idea of, for specific nutrients, do you have the genetics to keep them optimized? Are those pathways optimized? Because a lot of people say to me, well, why should I have to take vitamins? And, you know, well, the environment is dirty, digestion gets messed up, and if you have some genetic tendencies to have low levels of these, you really want to be taking them. So for me, the vitamin B6 isn't bad, but D and A are, and zinc, super bad, right? So these are things that I need to be focused on. Iron, this is related to hemochromatosis, not a deficiency of iron, but an excess of iron. I have, not surprisingly, heterozygous yellow, one from each parent. My brother has hemochromatosis. He got, and he just did his. He goes, well, not surprisingly, my hemochromatosis genes came back positive, right? He has both of these. Okay. And then there's the last B12. I've got a bunch of B12, so I'm careful about that. The last piece is muscle and joint. This particular section is more related to, you know, do you have a tendency to be a sprinter versus a, you know, a marathoner, you know, a slow twitch versus fast twitch. But this section, which is not in the book, but they have great content on the website, these are related to your ability to heal well, your collagen support. I don't have good genes here, which means if I cut my skin, it does take longer than I expect for it to heal, right? If I have a wound, if I have a broken bone, I would expect that. I have a son who gets injured all the time doing skateboarding. And when we looked at his genes and he's constantly spraining an ankle, he has a lot of these collagen supports. So what did I do? I gave him some collagen support protein powder and some nutrients. I said, if you're going to keep doing these dangerous things, you got to protect yourself or the injuries are not going to heal very well. So we're just going to look at these as kind of a global. We're going to look at that section and go, yeah, you should be supporting your collagen. Yeah, you should be supporting, you know, vitamin A, E, B, C, whatever. Okay. One last thing, and then we'll move on to Jeannie. I wanted to show you another chart where this one you can get more, these two genetic Jeannie charts, you can get more details about some of those that come up. These are specifically the methylation and the detox. But then there's a whole section on genetics of detox and digestion. I mean, of blood sugar and digestion. So what you can do, and we won't have time to do this during this, is you can look up any of the ones that you might have in here from your reports. And you may not get these from this one is definitely in the genetic detoxification report. Some of these are not in the genetic detoxification. Some of these are the celiac risk, et cetera. But some of them are not. And there's a way that you can look it up in your raw data on 23andMe, or there's another report you can get, which is just a 50-page dump of all the different genes you have that you can look up. So this is the digestion ones, and then we talk about the blood sugar ones, and I give you a lot of details on this. I have a lot of research on this because I researched it for my own stuff. I was curious, and I have a lot of these genes out of balance. So I want to show you one more thing, and let's see. There are other reports you can get, True Report, Metabolic Healing, and those are all listed on your nutrigenomics page on the introduction. And if there's any other reports that you're saying, yeah, I'd like to get the rest of these reports, you can get them here and we have a list of them. Where are they? Here we are, additional reports. And you know what? I'll just put these in I'll put this in this document as well. I'll clean it up later. Okay. So that's that. Stratagene is another one. This is the one though, it's just 48 pages of snip after snip after snip after snip. So if you want to go deeper and you want to like look up some of those reports, you can open this up. I believe you can do like a Control F type in, and it'll find you every instance of that particular gene in there. This, the MTHFR wasn't a good one because it's going to find it on there. So I can say FUT2, and then it brings me down to all of these and says there's five of them and I can find them. So if I was looking for a particular gene, I could find out, do I have a problem with it? Okay. Okay. I'm going to open it up for questions if anybody has them. And otherwise, we're just going to go through our list of folks who signed up and we're going to go through your genes. Anybody have questions?
I have one question.
Yeah.
You had all of yours filled in. And when I ran the 23andMe, I had quite a bit that was
that
not
was empty.
Available.
I ran mine 5 or 6 years ago. And they ran more tests then. And they've cut some out. Nobody's been able to get them to explain why they cut some out. It doesn't make any sense, but they have. I've been looking and researching, and I haven't gotten that far on what some of the others available are. I've seen some other reports, other companies that do it. They don't do the same, like it's a chip that they run. I've got test kits and I haven't run them yet. So once we get that going, you know, I'll make some recommendations, right? The 23andMe is at this point the least expensive of the options. And it gives you a lot, but yeah, you're going to get a lot of those and it's very, yeah, mine are practically all filled in. Yeah. The old one. And the nerve of them, they wrote to me, I logged in and it said, "Hey, you for just $99, you can upgrade and get yours run on the latest chip." I'm like, what are you nuts? Why would I pay you money to give me less data?
Yeah, exactly. I went and looked them up in that big list at the back and did the search and they weren't there.
They weren't there.
No.
Oh yeah, that's right. This is the, the book, I'll put that in there too. That's the book that I have. Put the link in there. All right. All right. So sorry about that. I wish I could, I wish I had a better response than that, but yeah, it gives you good information and you'll see there's a lot of good information there. Okay. If there's no other questions, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause or stop this recording.
Can I just ask one question? I'm not on for today. I'm on for tomorrow.
Sure.
But I just kind of want to be maybe more prepared. So I've done my 23andMe. I got my raw data and I ran it through Genetic Genie, which is the only one I've run it through. And I didn't get a whole lot in terms of what I see on what you have from
The Genetic Genie report looks more like it's very short.
I really should pay the extra dollars, even though I'm paying it from Canadian to US dollars and our dollar tanked, et cetera,
It's like $39.
I really should do that. And if I do it today, then I should have it for tomorrow.
You'll have it within like a half an hour at the most.
Okay, thank you. That's
yeah,
my
you're
question.
Welcome. Yeah. I mean, we can get a lot out of you, the Genetic Genie, but we're not going to get a lot of the gluten genes. We're not going to get the mental health genes. We're mostly just going to get detoxification.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. So I am going to stop the recording. Stop recording.